So you're going to see infrastructure that's just going to be massive, going up everywhere, like these huge towers and arrays and things like that, boxes. Just recently, they put up these weird-looking boxes at the tunnels and stuff in New York. I saw stories about that's what these are. These are 5G towers.
Of the Sharpie Nerd Report. I'm your host, Sam Johnston. We're found on YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can find me over at Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. This is the part in the show where most hosts would ask you to subscribe and all that fun jazz. But today we are diving deep down into the rabbit hole to talk about some topics that we haven't quite ever covered on this show before, but I think there's some value there in the ideas, and I think it's an important topic to discuss, so we're going to do that. And those topics are alchemy and the technological revolution that we are facing each other and how those two tie in together. And we are joined by Wayne McCroy, author of, let me look over my notes, The Alchemical Tech Revolution. And we are going to be talking about all sorts of different topics like 5G, the hermeneutic texts, and all of those fun topics. So, Mr. McCoy, how are you doing today?
Good, Sam. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. So before we get into your book, I would just like to know a little bit about your background. Where do you come from, and how did you get on the topic of alchemy?
Okay, well, it's kind of a long, convoluted story. I'm just a regular guy, and you know, all through my childhood growing up, I always had interest in paranormal subjects and weird occult things. So I kind of always had a little bit of an interest in it, so I always looked at a lot of this stuff growing up, but I never really took it really seriously until, oh, probably about the past decade or so, and then I started like heavily researching it when I had a couple synchronistic events happen in my life. I should start off by telling you, I found salvation in Christ in 1998, so I've been a Christian for 20 years now, and this was kind of a hard pill to swallow for me because having been heavily involved in a Pentecostal church, it was hard for me to really come to terms with the fact that this is the direction God would lead me. I really had a hard time and struggled with it for a good long time before I really started delving into it deeply and starting to write about it. So, you know, it's something that I've finally come to terms with, and I realize this is a direction that God has led me, even though it may not be, you know, the average route that a Christian would take. So it's not really subject matter that most Christians are comfortable with.
Hey, the road less traveled, that's really, what I say.
Right. But I have felt a calling upon my life to do this, and that's why I'm out there. Actually, the book is primarily about the dangers of the transhumanist movement, if you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Are you familiar with the transhumanist movement?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and this directly relates back from what I've studied. The whole agenda for the transhumanist movement ties all the way back to the ancient mystery schools, which is something that most have probably never heard of. And what these mystery schools are, these are the ancient philosophy schools that all of our modern-day secret societies, quote-unquote secret societies, are based upon. You're talking about your Freemasonry, your Rosicrucianism, all of these different occult fraternities. They're all tied together at the top into what we would commonly refer to today as the Illuminati. So this is the ancient root of where this stuff comes from. And a lot of this stuff that they're using now, these technologies, to get to this transhumanist singularity, as they call it, are all based in ancient hermetic principles that come from these mystery schools of the ancient times. So we should probably go ahead and take a look at some of these principles so people could be kind of familiar with where we're coming from with it.
That's a great intro for us and kind of let you know where you're coming from. So yeah, but let's dive into those, the seven hermetic texts that kind of define the background of these occult religions.
Okay. Basically, where these come from, these all stem back to something called the ancient mystery schools. And what these are essentially, this is all stems from way back before recorded history in ancient Babylon. All of these teachings are kind of prehistoric in a way. They've all been passed down verbally from generation to generation in an unbroken line of initiation throughout the ages, and they continue today. So that's the thing. I like these occult fraternities that we have today, these secret societies, so-called, like your Freemasonries, your Rosicrucianisms. There's a lot of different ones. There's one called the OTO. There's just a ton of them. But anyway, they all teach the same things, and they're all based upon a lot of these ancient Hermetic philosophies and upon Kabbalah, if you're familiar with Kabbalah. So this is where they stem most of their teachings from, and I've kind of come to the conclusion through my research that most of our modern science is based upon these ancient alchemical sciences, these ancient metaphysical sciences, these Hermetic principles. And what they're doing with it is they're twisting these Hermetic principles, which essentially constitute a sort of natural law in the system we live in here, and they're twisting them and kind of perverting them and making them into something totally unnatural. And that's the premise that I'm going with this. What they're doing is they're trying to use these ancient teachings to kind of twist our paradigm that we're in and make it into something totally artificial. So they're changing nature, the natural order, into something completely artificial. And they've been working at this for generations and generations now. This has been going on for a very long time. But at this point, in this day and age, we're at a technological level right now where they could see the fruition of these plans coming about very quickly here, and it's closer than it's ever been in all of recorded history for them. And they're working feverishly towards that right now. And what they refer to this as, they call this the Great Work. If you're familiar with Freemasonry or anything along those lines, I'm sure you've probably discussed that before on some of your shows. But they refer to this as the Great Work. It's also known as the Philosopher's Stone. And what this basically is coming at it from more modern viewpoint, this is the transhumanist singularity. This is what they're working for towards. Let's make it perfectly clear. In no uncertain terms, they want to become God, and they're working feverishly to do that. And they plan on doing that by merging our biology with technology to become God.
Yeah, it's the same lie that you see Satan tell in the garden when he's talking to Eve, promise him that they'll become like gods. And so now this is kind of the core of their beliefs and how they kind of plan to do this. So I'm really glad that you're here to talk about it. So let's dive into those seven Hermetic texts and laws that we see. And as we go through them, I just want people to start to think about how there's a lot of truth in these. But they, like you said, they're just corrupted to, Satan's corrupted them to be something that they're not supposed to be. But yeah, let's dive into those.
Exactly. That's exactly the whole crux of all this that you have to get is these things in and of themselves, these Hermetic principles we're going to talk about, in and of themselves are not a bad thing. It's just how they're twisting and perverting them that's making them a bad thing and how they're using them to bring about this plan. The first one I would like to look at is a principle called the principle of mentalism. And basically, what this one states is that everything stems from thought. Like our reality is affected by our thought. So you could have your thoughts could generate real world effects, and you could kind of see how this could be misused. And this is exactly what's going on. They also equate this to, this is their belief now. They equate this to being the combined consciousness of all mankind together can be equated to the mind of God. So this whole collectivism of thought, this collective mind of all of humanity, they see as being God. And they plan on trying to become this by merging all their consciousnesses together into a computer system, essentially, is what it's boiling down to. So, with this mentalism principle, there's everything else just kind of piggybacks off of this whole principle for them. And this is, basically what they want to do. This is what their thought process is. They believe that they can actually upload their consciousness into a computer. And then they could live in a multi-bodied, multi-dimensional reality and have total control over that and have all of man's collective consciousness combined together into one consciousness where we could all interreact in just absolute zero time. And this will all be combined together under an artificial intelligence control grid. So it makes for some really interesting thought. It sounds like science fiction, but I assure you there's white papers about this. There's real talk of this. If you've heard of anybody, in the mainstream who's into this kind of science stuff, you could hear them talking about things like this all the time. Like one that comes to mind immediately is a guy called Elon Musk, if you've heard of him. Now, he's always talking about this kind of thing, and he wants to try and get ahead of it because his fear is that the artificial intelligence is going to overpower and take over the whole singularity movement. So there's a lot to watch out for there.
That's a really interesting first place to start, and my mind goes in two directions. One, my mind goes into trying to capture all of mankind's thoughts and focus it on a certain task. I think one way they do that already is just by the like the deaths of celebrities, and everyone's thinking about death, and they can kind of harness the power that way. But then also on the flip side of that, you have the positive quality of that is our call to be in constant prayer and constantly focused on the things of God to really focus us and to change our reality for the good. So that's kind of where my two thoughts go off that topic.
Right, and I could totally agree with your perspective on that. That's true, and we do have to be, mindful of our thoughts, and we have to be mindful of all of that, because, like I said, it's a matter of the people who are in control right now. They have bad ulterior motives right now with this whole thing. They have no intention of taking you and I into the new age with them. And that's what they see this as. This is the dawning of a new age, the age of transhumanism, the age of Aquarius. This has been, recorded all through all the new age nonsense for the past how many decades now? There's yeah, I mean, it's totally they totally believe this stuff, and they're totally bought into it, and they think that it's achievable through technology now. All of this this godhood they're looking for. They plan on merging with the artificial intelligence and becoming God. They think they'll be able to do anything and live forever. And that's the carrot that they keep dangling in front of people. They believe that your consciousness could be equated down to nothing more than an algorithm, a computer algorithm. They see consciousness as a byproduct of just the electrical activity of your brain. So they believe that if this is the case, it could be equated down to a single eloquent occasion, or excuse me, one single eloquent equation where your consciousness could be equated down to an algorithm. So they believe that your consciousness could be transferred into a computer. Because these people come from the angle, they really don't believe that there's an afterlife or that there's, anything spiritual that's beyond what we could see in this realm. And that's one thing that people have a hard time coming to grips with.
Yeah, do you think that? I guess I part of me wants to think that there's a good portion of them that do acknowledge the fact that there is an afterlife, and they're trying to avoid it. Like they're trying to avoid God's judgment by creating this type of thing. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I believe, just like anybody else, there's all different types of people and with all different kinds of belief systems. But I'm telling you, the ones at the top, they believe in something that you could call secular humanism, is pretty much what they equate to. They believe that man can become God. And actually, what this is, this goes back even further, back into like the ancient mystery school teachings and stuff. Once again, this is called Luciferianism. They don't outright believe in Lucifer or a devil per se. And they don't believe, that they're serving this God or this spiritual entity exists above them that directs them. They don't believe in a God. And see, that's kind of where there's a little disconnect. If they believe in Luciferian philosophy, they believe that they are becoming God. These people believe that they are becoming God, that man will eventually evolve into something greater. And they see this as what's coming through the merging of man with technology. It's called guided evolution is one of the terms that they use for it. So they're trying to force their own evolution coming forward and trying to turn themselves into God through the transhumanist singularity. And they're getting close with a lot of these technologies, and they believe it's totally possible. They think, like I said, they believe that their consciousness is nothing more than an algorithm. So if that's the case, they could transfer their consciousness and all their memories and everything into a computer. And then they could, by doing so, transfer their consciousness into any receptacle they want. So they could have a new body, and they plan on building new biological bodies, as well as robotics and cybernetics, all kinds of different things. They could transfer their consciousness into pretty much any receptacle they want. So they could exist in multiple places at once this way. They could have multiple copies of themselves split off. There's actually a gentleman named Robin Hanson who has an interesting TED Talk, if you want to look that one up, where he talks about what he calls the Age of M, E-M, that is. And what this is this talks about the creation of artificial amulets of people. These would be digital people within a computer network. And it's some really creepy stuff. It talks about how the economy of this Age of M would overcome our regular human economy within 2 or 3 years. And then after that, they're not sure what would happen, that these computer emulations would outproduce basically all of the labor of humanity. And, you know, they would look at us as being nothing more than backwards ancestors of themselves. And it creates all kinds of interesting thoughts. Yeah. And it does sound very much like science fiction, but there are people who are definitely working towards this stuff, and they're making breakthroughs every day with it. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah, no, it does sound out there, but then you start to look at the, one, you can look at the progress we're making towards it, but there are lots of people talking about it. There's a council of transhumanists out there that they meet together to talk about the best ways to get there. It's not like it's just fringe people talking about this, making this up out of nothing. There are literal scientific conventions to talk about transhumanists and transhumanism and how to get there. So it sounds crazy, but it's definitely a goal for sure.
Yeah, and just kind of piggybacking off what you were just saying, there's a website out there. If any of the listeners want to go look this up, it's called the Transhuman Code. Just go to transhumancode.com and watch some of the videos that they have on there of some of the technologies and stuff that they're developing. It's really eye-opening. And this website, it just had its major launch back in January here, is when they started putting it out worldwide. I mean, they'd been working on it quietly for a while, but they gave it its big push in January, back at the Davos meeting, when they had the Davos meeting in January.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. There's a lot out there. It's definitely, it's not a science fiction thing. It's not a conspiratorial thing. This is actually going on.
Yeah.
These people are planning this.
That Davos meeting, that there's a lot of things that came out of that was very eye-opening. but yeah, anyway, so we got the creating one mind as the first one. So the second one is correspondence. What does that mean?
Correspondence, basically the principle of correspondence. To anybody who's familiar with occultism at all, this translates as above, so below. So they believe things that happen on a macro scale also happen on a micro scale, and they correspond with one another. Now, this one plays heavily in with quantum physics, because things that you could do at a micro scale level, like say at a quantum level, according to the principle of correspondence, you could also do this at a macro level. And that opens up a whole gateway of different possibilities with things they could do. If they could create quantum scale effects on a macro scale level, that could totally change the face of what the world looks like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of crazy things that go on at the molecular level that we just aren't even aware of, like quantum entanglement, the way particles move and interact with each other. That, to me, like if you can replicate the things that go on down there, as chaotic as they seem and impossible as they seem, that is a way for people to believe that you are a god if you're able to manipulate those type of things.
Oh, precisely. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about something like, say, quantum teleportation, which has been proven and done in a lab situation with with microscale particles, photons, and I think they actually did something a little bit larger, like a small macro scale object of some sort. They were able to actually quantum teleport that. It was a number of different molecules together, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it's not something that's in the realm of science fiction anymore. This is something that could be done. So it's just a matter of bringing it up to scale. And right now, one of the major tools that they're using in order to bring about this transhuman singularity is the quantum computer. Are you familiar with quantum computers? Have you heard anything about those at all?
Yeah, I've done some research on it. There's a big debate whether or not they actually exist yet.
Right. I could tell you that the scientific community has come to the conclusion that yes, the D-wave adiabatic quantum computer is an actual quantum computer. It does use quantum scale
Wow.
effects to bring about the data that it does. So that debate's been settled within the scientific community. I know, excuse me, for a while they were saying that they doubted that it actually worked like it says, or that it is really a quantum device. But there have since been other major manufacturers like IBM that have been developing their own quantum computers. So D-Wave is kind of ahead of the game with the quantum computers, though. This is the first operational quantum computer, and it's called the D-Wave adiabatic quantum computer. And I think they're about six or seven generations in now with it,
Wow.
of different processors with it. So they've been operational since, I think, 2007, if I'm not mistaken, was the first D-Wave that they put out. And this is not a small computer. This is not something that your average person could go get their hands on. It's a large, giant, black cube-shaped computer, and it uses something called a pulse tube dilution refrigerator in order to house the quantum chips that make it operate. So, because they have to have ultra cold temperatures in order to get the quantum effects that they're looking for in order to process it. Now, there's some confusion. A lot of people would ask, how does a quantum computer operate differently than a regular computer? And what it is your regular computer that we're familiar with operates on a binary system where it uses zeros and ones, or like an on-off position. Okay. The quantum computer differs in that it could use a quantum effect called superposition, which in which that state is, the zero and one could exist simultaneously and be either one, whereas your regular computer can be just one or the other. So I this in and of itself just kind of equates to a much faster processing speed. The regular computer uses something called a bit, which can be either a one or a zero, whereas the quantum computer uses something called a qubit, where it could be a one, a zero, or both simultaneously. So it creates a lot of different patterns that can't be created by a regular computer. And it uses different algorithms in order to solve problems that a regular computer can't. So it does a lot of things a regular computer cannot. And some of these developers of this computer claim that it could actually access information from alternate dimensions. And I'm not making this up. This is not something I made up. Just look up a gentleman named Geordie Rose. He was the chief operating officer and one of the guys that actually was one of the forerunners that invented this D-Wave computer. And he claims that basically they could access alternate dimensions. They could get a hold of data through use of alternate dimensions with these quantum computers. So that creates some pretty stunning revelations right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of the questions I had from the audience, and I think this ties in well with that, is they talk about the veil and basically the separation between the physical and spiritual world. It is, I think, my understanding of what that means by the veil, and how this kind of breaks down the veil. Is that accurate?
I would say that, yeah, it actually probably is accurate because if you're talking about actually reaching into another dimension per se and extracting its resources, then that could be equated to breaking down the veil. If you'd like, I'll go ahead. I have Geordie Rose's quote right here, just so people could understand. This is not me saying this. This is Geordie Rose. He was the chief technical officer of D-Wave Incorporated and one of the co-founders. And I quote, "In a quantum computer, that device, and this is my aside here, he's referring to something called a qubit, can be in a strange situation where these two parallel universes have a nexus, a point in space where they overlap. And when you increase the number of these devices, and once again he's referring to qubits, every time you add one of these qubits, you double the number of these parallel universes that you have access to. Until such time, when you get to a chip like this, and in the presentation, he was referring to D-Wave's 512-qubit Vesuvius chip, which is about 500 of these bits, you have something like 2 to the 500th power of these guys living in that chip. So the way I think about it is that the shadows of these parallel worlds overlap with ours, and if we're smart enough, we can dive into them and grab their resources and pull them back into ours to make an effect in our world. And that, like I said, that was Jordy Rose, the co-founder and chief technical officer of D-Wave Incorporated, and that was at the Idea City Tech Conference, June 20th of 2013. And that's his quote. So he's talking about reaching into alternate universes and extracting resources. So when serious scientific minds are talking about this, it's time to stand up and pay attention.
Yeah, a lot of this can sound really scary too, and I always, and I hate when new technology comes out and people automatically label it as evil. But I'm having a hard time not doing that in this sense, because it sounds like they're trying to reach into a different dimension and contact things that maybe they shouldn't. Is there any way that this is used for good, or this is they're pure of heart and just really trying to do good with it?
I would like to think so, but I really don't see that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can't see where, you know, even just if you look at it from being from a point of view of being cautious, they're not being overly cautious. They're just pushing ahead and doing whatever it is that they feel like doing with this technology. And it's kind of scary, because like I said, the problem is not the technology itself. It's a tool like anything else. It's the people who are in charge of it right now that I have my concerns with. And there's a very small group at the top that is kind of running the show with a lot of this stuff. And they all interconnect. It all ties back to your there's six major corporations that run all of media. And these six corporations are all owned by two corporations at the top.
Yeah.
And when you actually go digging and look into it, you'll find it just a couple major names that turn up over and over and over again, like Rothschild, Rockefeller, DuPont, you know, a couple of families like this. And it's kind of scary that we let these select few people have control over this stuff. And they're the ones that are pulling the strings. They're the ones that bankroll it. They're the ones that, you know, kind of recruit the scientists and the people working on this stuff and steer them in the direction that they want to go with it. Because that's the nature of scientific research at this point, is you don't get your research grants unless you're producing something that your benefactor wants. So that's how they control science from the top down. Our whole system of science is corrupted from the top down.
Yeah, and because again, we're still talking about the principle of alchemy and the hermetic texts, but the reasons that we're talking about this, just to get the audience back on the same page as we are, the reason is because of the law of correspondence, or the principle of correspondence, which is little things can turn into big things, and that's how we got in the quantum computing aspect. So very interesting stuff. So I'm going to kind of steer us back a little bit back to the seven principles that we're talking about, because I think we covered that one pretty well. Obviously, definitely go grab the book that Mr. McRoy wrote, because it goes into very, very deep detail about a lot of these things. But let's move on to the third one, and the principle of vibration. This one I've always found really interesting when talking about just because of the implications that it has.
Okay. The principle of vibration. This basically says everything's in a constant state of motion or change. And this is true all throughout nature. Everything's in a constant state of motion or change. How they've kind of corrupted this is all you have to do is look at some of the psychotronic weapons that they utilize right now. Things like some of the crowd control technologies that they use. They could use infrasound. They could project sounds directly into your brain. You will hear this inside your head, and nobody else can. They could direct things like directly at you using this principle. And they have these technologies in place that could do this. So it's really kind of a scary thing, and I could tell you mind control technologies, they're very real. It's not something to laugh about. It's not science fiction. This stuff has been going on for a long time. There's all you have to do is just do a patent search, and you'll find just tons and tons of these things, these mind control devices that use infrasound or ultrasound in order to they could project sounds inside your head. They could influence your thoughts. They could actually read your thoughts. There's just been a recent article that just came out that Facebook's trying to develop a technology that could help to read your mind, so that what you want to say, rather than typing it in, you could just think about it, what you want to say, and it'll be a new input device. And they're actually working on this. Facebook is. So, and I kid you not, I'm not making this up. This is not something, like I said, that's in the realm of science fiction. They're actively seeking this stuff out, and they're doing it. And they're actually decades ahead of what they say they are in the public sector. Because one thing you need to understand about many of these technologies is there's a black projects budget that is in the trillions and trillions of dollars that a lot of these private companies use to research a lot of these technologies covertly. And it's all compartmentalized, and these are called special access programs, special access programs. And a lot of these government contractors have you need security clearances to even work on this stuff, and they keep this stuff hidden from the public view. And most of it's a lot of it's funded through DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. So they're really working on a lot of this stuff, and they have been for a long time, and they're using it covertly against people without their knowledge of it. So it's nothing to laugh about, so.
Yeah, you can definitely see that with the, especially when the riots start happening in the city and the tensions rising. You can see the tools there, even going back to things like 9/11, how they were involved with that as well. There's a couple different theories that they used certain weapons like that to help cause the towers to fall over. And then, but I this idea of everything is vibrating definitely goes back to a scriptural root of that God spoke everything into being, which I also think is very fascinating that this the reason everything's vibrating all the time is because it's just God's spoken word, and how powerful all that is, that no matter what the enemy will try to create with these weapons, God still has more power in all those things. So I'm trying to I want to identify these things as how they're being used against us, but also tie the parallels into how they are biblically just being corrupted for evil. So I'm gonna try to keep that theme going throughout the whole show. But yeah, definitely very
Understandable.
interesting.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So when it comes down to it, that's our primary tool for communicating. It's the primary tool of civilization itself is speech, and that directly corresponds to this vibration principle that we're talking about. Like I said, these things are all tools. They could be used for good or bad. And my concern right now is the people in charge at this point are using a lot of these principles for bad. They're using it for their own personal gains at the expense of the masses.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
this has been going on for a long time. And I'm sorry if I tend to babble a little bit here
No.
and talk at length about things. I know we're out of time constraint here. We should probably move on to the next principle.
Yeah, well, I'm in control here, so I don't care. As long as we're talking about important, relevant things, then definitely keep going because what we've talked about so
Okay, I
far
just don't
is
want to.
so important. It's just important, and it's hard to condense it into short sound bites because there's so much depth to it. It would take a whole book to write on all these things, which, oddly enough, you wrote a whole book on it. So there you go.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I'm trying my best to squeeze it all in an hour, but I know I
Yeah.
come off sounding like I'm rambling,
No,
so.
and if
But.
and don't worry about that if we go over, that's totally fine.
Okay.
It's fine with me at least, as long as it's fine with you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But yeah, so let's move on to the next principle, which would be polarity, correct?
That's correct. The polarity principle. Now, this one's huge. This one is in our society everywhere you look. This one basically states that everything has a dualistic nature, duality in all things. There, for everything, there's has its opposite. So you have two extreme poles, one at one end, one at the other. And this equates down to, like I said, just about everything. There's up and down, left and right. Everything has its opposite. Now, how this has been corrupted by the people in control right now is all we have to do is look at our political system to understand this. It's a two-party system. You have your Republicans and your Democrats. Now, what a lot of people fail to realize is both parties are controlled at the top by the same couple of people. And it's a tool. It's a control tool. They use it for control. You control both sides of the argument, and you could steer the conversation in whatever direction you want. And they've become masters at using this. And all you have to do is look around and see how, from administration to administration, their plans just keep inching along, little at a time. They may slow down once in a while, just out of necessity, if people start to get upset with things, but they keep pushing the agenda they want. But they just kind of shift people's consciousness in one direction or another to try and do it, to get to the aims that they want. And they use our political system. It's a perfect example of it. It's, well, everybody's all up in in outrage about Donald Trump tweeted this. In the meantime, Congress is go ahead and pushing through this legislation quietly that nobody's aware of because they're too busy worrying about what Trump tweeted. It's really quite ridiculous at this point. And it's been ridiculous for a long time. So it's one of those things where they use this principle basically to control the masses, and they do it by trying to tweak your preferences one way or another.
It's a lot of trying to convince you that there's only two options, or using the Hegelian dialectic to force you to go one way, or it's really, it's just there's truth to it, because there is duality in a lot of things. The whole idea of good versus evil, I mean, that's the foundation of everything that we live in, is good versus evil. So there's duality there. But what they do is they take the duality and give you two bad options to force you down a path that you don't actually want to go on. So you have to really start to look at things at a with broader scope on and on understanding, which is why we talk about topics like this, is so you can say, oh, they're trying to force me over here. The duality of the reality of the duality of the situation is there's actually a good option going on that I need to start to look at as well.
Right. And you totally nailed it right there. That was a very good, accurate description of it. They put you in this little box by controlling both sides of the argument. They put you in this little box. And you need to start thinking outside the box in order to really make any real change. Because while they have you corralled in that little box, they're doing what they want anyway. They have you right where they want you. They have your thought captured in this one little space right there, and in the meantime, they're going ahead and pushing forward their agendas. So that's exactly how that works. They use that polarity principle in, a totally controlling kind of way. And I like that you use the term Hegelian dialectic. So that's definitely the control mechanism that they use the most.
Absolutely. And so would you, because we talked, you talked about the switching of political parties in power. Would you say that that plays kind of into our next theme of rhythm and the flow of in and out, how they kind of go back and forth?
Oh, definitely, yeah. There, that is definitely ties directly into that. The next one's called the principle of rhythm, like you said, and this one basically states there's a time for everything. And I think the Book of Ecclesiastes sums this up perfectly. There's a time for everything, and everything's beautiful in its time. That's Ecclesiastes 3, if you want to, anybody wants to go look that up. This sums it up perfectly. It's absolutely a truth, and things operate in time cycles. So, like you said, with the political parties, it operates in time cycles. There's a reason that usually it changes every 8 years. There's a reason for that. And the people who are, the controllers of our reality right now, they're totally aware of these principles, and they use them and utilize them in ways that the public is unaware of for the most part. Most people are totally oblivious to this type of thing. Like, most people have never heard of the Hermetic principle of rhythm. So they don't understand. Everything has a cycle. Everything has its season. all things happen in different seasons, and what things could happen and whether or not you find success could be tied to these different seasons. Like the perfect example of this is a farmer. A farmer knows when to plant his field and he knows when to harvest. If he didn't do this stuff at the right time, he would have no harvest. So he would starve. And basically, our whole entire reality operates like this. And a lot of these people who are in control know when it's right to do certain things, especially politically. So there's always this back and forth. And like I said, I mean, there's definitely a cycle tied to that. That's why you'll notice it's usually every 8 years there's the party changes. It's kind of strange like that because you get tired of what this guy is doing, and then so you figure you'll vote for the alternative. But what you don't understand is the alternative is controlled by the same people that the original one was controlled by. So there's no real change, and that's where people are getting corralled into this little box,
Yeah.
and it's really kind of an evil thing.
Yeah, it's even comforting to a lot of people, just to have that rhythm going. You kind of know what's coming up next, so you're comfortable. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think too much. You're kind of stuck in your own mind. It reminds me of the scene in the book, not the movie, Wrinkle in Time, when they go to that one society that everything's by the beat of the drum. It's just constantly going in rhythm. And in my mind, this is a corruption of the idea that God has a time for everything and he has a plan for everything and he's the one in control. And so Satan tries to corrupt that and force his plan on
Right, you
things.
totally nailed that there. That's the other thing. Everything that the people in control right now and the powers above that, because what you need to realize is we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness in high places. What they're doing is they're completely inverting this natural law, like these hermetic principles. These hermetic principles could kind of be equated to a natural law of sorts. Like this is the these are the laws that our universe operates on. These are the laws that the creator put in place. And what they're doing is they're completely and totally inverting these laws. So it's a total perversion and corruption of nature. And this is what they intend to do. And in so doing, they're creating a different artificial system that they want to be gods of and rule over. So, and like I said, they're at the point now where they've never been closer to the fruition of their goal, as they are right now with the technologies that we have and we're developing. So,
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to the Tower of Babel again, for sure.
right, and I do allude to that in my book. I have a whole chapter on there as, that kind of relates this all to the Tower of Babel. So, it's really an interesting thing to look at. I personally don't believe that these people are going to succeed with their plan. I think, it's not going to come to fruition how they see. There's going to be backlash because you can't spit in the creator's face and expect nothing to happen.
Yeah,
So
that's
that's
very
just
true.
my view.
No, yeah, it says that in the book of Revelation too, and I think there's a couple things that are really important to keep in perspective when talking about topics like this is one, we win in the end. That's what it says in scripture. It this stuff is so important to know. It's so crucial to understand what the enemy is trying to do and how they work and the principles that they're inserting because we can fight against it and we can win souls for Jesus and bring people to Christ through this by understanding these things, but to not get overwhelmed because we are going to win at the end. And then also another thing that I just want to remind people is when you look into these things about these hermetic ideas and things like that, be very careful because it's very easy to fall into the wrong side of things. We're talking about how these are corrupted versions of what God's plan is, but don't just be careful when you look into it because they are very dark in a lot of senses, so we have to make sure that we're not looking too much into the darkness of things.
You can't peer into the abyss for too long without going mad. So,
Yeah.
that's one of those things. But like I said, these principles in and of themselves aren't bad or evil or anything like that. It's the corruption of them that's become the problem. Most of where this stuff comes from is, like I said before, the written history and religious texts and stuff of the time. A lot of these were principles that men were taught from the beginning and understood. And this is like kind of a lost knowledge that's been separated from us through the ages. And it's been separated from us by design by the powers that be, the people in charge the ones that want control of the system. They've hidden some of these principles from us so that we don't understand them, so that we can't use them ourselves to overthrow their corruption that they're trying to put in place. So it's, you know, really creates kind of a dichotomy in thought in that respect. Like, these are not necessarily bad principles, but how they're being used against us is bad. So, like I said, it kind of equates to a natural law that's kind of been understood by man from time immemorial. So when they've gone ahead and corrupted this, it really, really creates, you know, some bad effects here for those of us in the public, because there's a very small group at the top that wants total control of everything.
Yeah, well, that's what Satan does best, is he takes God's structure that he set up in the world and his creation and corrupts it to serve him. And so you can't, that's what you expect when you look at things like what we're going through. But let's move into the next one. I think we're at number 6 now, which is cause and effect.
Right. Cause and effect is pretty cut and dry. People understand this by and large. Every cause has an effect and every effect has its cause. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Here's how this is being twisted now and perverted. They are trying to develop where you have an effect happen without a discernible cause. They're using something called retrocausality, which has been proven out in various scientific experiments to be plausible to do. And what this is you bring about the effect before you actually initiate the cause of the effect. So in doing this, they're trying to subvert different things. You could say karmic principles, because everything you do has an effect and will come back on you in one way or another, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to subvert the effect on themselves by their actions, by using this retrocausality principle. And they're trying to accomplish some really spooky looking scientific things with this. This would kind of equate to a form of time travel in an effect, this retrocausality. And one place people could look this up to kind of understand it better is there's a principle called the quantum eraser. It's an experiment you could look up online. It's a pretty simple experiment set up. It's based on, if you're familiar with, a double slit experiment. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a variation of that, where they're able to switch up the pattern that's projected through the double slit experiment without actually touching the mechanism to change it. It'll change before their eyes, before they change it. So it kind of creates a kind of a weird situation where, you know, this that also ties back kind of to this principle of mentalism, where your thought can affect the outcome of things, where your observation actually affects the outcome of things. This is another thing that they've been observing in quantum physics, is your observation affects the outcome of the experiment. If you're observing something, the simple act of observing it affects the outcome. So it's kind of hard to describe, but it kind of equates almost to like a time travel type technology.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and time travel blows my mind to just even think about something like that. I don't even know if that's possible, just based on what scripture says. I don't know. It's definitely another step to become like a god, to not be tied by the constraints of time. You can see that definitely fits well in within that.
Right, and that's the other thing. I mean, if they're not bound by the constraints of time, then, you know, they could achieve effects that would be, you know, impossible otherwise. Mm-hmm. So they are really working towards doing this. And this is kind of the principle on which these quantum computers operate. And this also brings into the conversation another issue that's kind of been going on more recently, called the Mandela effect. Have you heard of the Mandela effect?
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of research into it, but I've definitely heard of it.
Okay, well, the Mandela effect basically is where people have begun to notice things are different than what they remember. Like, for instance, how it got its name of the Mandela effect is a researcher was at a convention talking to some people one time, and all of them had recalled the same thing, that Nelson Mandela had died sometime in the late 80s or early 90s. But at the time that they had this convention, he was alive and well. But they all remembered that he had died. So that's kind of how the term was coined, the Mandela effect. And there's just an absolute ton of these. If you want to do any research on it on the internet, you could look at it. There's an absolute ton. There's things like one of the popular ones is the movie Star Wars. If you're familiar with the Star Wars movies, apparently C-3PO, the robot, has a silver leg and always has. But most people remember that he was all gold. So, I mean, this is just one of those effects, and a lot of them do kind of relate to movies and popular culture items, but there's also things like even our anatomy, some people have claimed has changed. So, like one that I'll cite as an example is when you think of your kidneys, where do you really regularly think they're at in your body?
Like around the side-ish, lower
Like in the
side.
lower back?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They sit right up underneath your heart, protected by your rib cage. And this is another one that's been equated to the Mandela effect. So when you start looking into this, like I said, there's so many of them. There's something to this. It's not all people just misremembering. It's not there's more to it than that. I mean, there's actual physical changes going on. That people are beginning to notice in mass. And it's not just like a couple people remember it this way and it's different. Now, there are a lot of things that seem superficial, like misspellings and things like that, that they attribute to this Mandela effect.
The
But
Bernstein
I,
Bears.
yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. Or Reba McEntire, the country singer, like her name is totally spelled differently from how most people remember. Just things like that. Now, a lot of these you could attribute to confabulation, which is, just misremembering something. But there's just too many of them at this point where, there's actual physical things that you can see and know, hey, that was not like that. So it's one of those weird things.
Yeah, well, we talked about earlier about the reality of mind control and brainwashing and things like that. To me, it's easier to believe that they have convinced society that that's the way it was, but in reality, it's always 3CPO's always had a silver leg, but they've just convinced them, the majority of society, that he's used to be all gold versus going back in time and actually changing what things are. That's easier for me to understand that way. It seems more realistic to me.
Right, and there's a lot of different ways that you could, a lot of the different angles you could look at this from, but
Yeah.
and that's definitely one that you could keep in mind. But there's definitely something to it, and right now there's an organization called CERN that's trying to take
Yeah.
credit for this. They're saying
Yeah.
they're the ones that have, they're kind of hinting that they're the ones that have caused this Mandela effect through use of their particle accelerators combined with the quantum computers. And there's a ton of information about this online if you wanted to look it up. But, I mean, there's any number of possibilities as to what the cause of this could be. But there's definitely somebody is tinkering with and screwing with our remembrances
Yeah, for
in one
sure.
way or another.
Yeah, for sure.
So, with
Well,
that being said, that sums up the whole perversion of cause and effect thing.
yeah, absolutely. And you talked about anatomy, which brings us to our next one, which is gender and how everything has a masculine and feminine quality to it.
Right, this is called the principle of gender, and this one states everything has a masculine and a feminine aspect to it. And this also relates to things like electricity and magnetism. Electricity being, attributed as the male attribute and magnetism as the female attribute. And this ties very closely to this whole principle of duality. And right now in our society, this whole gender principle is being really twisted and manipulated in a really horrific way that's causing all kinds of social issues that I don't think have ever really existed before in the past, although they're trying to rewrite history to make you believe that this did actually exist in the past and it was normal. So I just see it as being a total perversion of how it's been intended to be, of what the principle of gender has been intended to be. There's always been very definite masculine and feminine attributes, and right now what they're doing is they're blurring the lines of gender. And the reason they're doing this is because eventually what they plan on doing is like blurring the lines of what humanity is. And this once again relates back to the whole transhumanist movement. So this is directly where this is coming from. I've been researching it a little more recently, and there's a definite tie between the whole transgender movement and the transhumanist movement. It's definitely a stepping stone for the transhumanist movement. That's what it's being used for. And I also like to talk about a principle called the Overton window, which this is a social control tool that these controllers use to kind of shift what we would view as being acceptable. It's called the Overton window, and what they do is they slowly start to introduce more and more bizarre ideas to make them socially acceptable. So, like right now, what they've done, if you've been watching for like the past 20 years, first they started slowly. They started trying to normalize homosexuality and gay marriage and things like that. Now, if you're out in society, it's kind of considered pretty normal. It's all over Hollywood. It's everywhere. It's in your face all the time. And now the next step of this Overton window is right now they're pushing the whole transgender thing. So what they plan on doing is eventually shifting this window. And like I said, they're blurring the lines of gender right now to the point to create confusion. And what they plan on doing is eventually blurring the lines of what humanity looks like, so that they could start rolling out all this transhumanist technology and, having people with all sorts of different, artificial limbs, things like that. Not necessarily ones that they need. I mean, these will be optional tech that people will be taking on. It's kind of a scary thing to look at, but that's eventually where it's rolling out to.
Yeah, I mean, they're already creating laws on the books for transhumanist and human animal combos or human machine combos and how to best work around those legally. I mean, those things are really on the books already.
Right. And like I said, I mean, this is not something we should be taking lightly because there are a lot of people out there. It's a small minority of people, but there's enough of them, enough numbers of them that are really pushing this transhumanist thing. And to be honest, there are some actual benefits that could come from it, like medical benefits and things like that. And that's kind of how they get people to accept the technology and look for the technology, is that they tout all the benefits that this could have. But honestly, what they really plan to do with it is totally far and away different than what they say, and like all the puff pieces they put out there about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about getting people to take the mark of the beast at the end times for sure. So we've walked through all seven of those principles. I think we did a really good job of understanding where they want to take them and what the original plan was for them, through, different scripture and things like that. So I think that was fantastic. There's definitely way more to alchemy that we could dive into, but we're coming up on the hour here. And I do have people asking about the 5G network, and I would love to get your opinion on the coming 5G. That seems to be something that at least is important to know about, to say the least.
Absolutely, it is. The 5G network, this is supposedly the next communications network for like all your cell phones and all of your wireless technology. And this 5G operates differently than the previous networks that we're familiar with, like the 4G network and the other ones we're familiar with. This operates on something called a millimeter wave. This utilizes millimeter waves, which are extremely harmful to biological tissue. So you're going to see, once they get this whole thing rolled out, there's going to be like towers and transformers and transmitters and stuff going up everywhere because they use millimeter waves, that they have a shorter range. So you're going to see infrastructure that's just going to be massive going up everywhere, like these huge towers and arrays and things like that, boxes. Just recently they put up these weird looking boxes at the tunnels and stuff in New York. I saw stories about that's what these are. These are 5G towers. People didn't know what they were, but that's what they are. They're for the 5G infrastructure. And basically they're going to use this 5G in ways that most people wouldn't even understand. Because where I come from, with the research I've done, this also involves a nanotechnology, which has been covertly being implanted in us over time now. People are totally unaware of, and it's going to utilize these 5G waves in order to activate and influence this nanotechnology that's actually physically in our bodies right now to bring about the changes that they want. So I talk about this more in my book as well, but that's what the whole thing with the 5G network is. At the very least, you're going to see cancer skyrocket, disease skyrocket. At the very most, you're going to see the push for singularity. This is going to be the tool that they use to merge all of our minds online into this artificial intelligence network that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, definitely something that you have to keep an eye on. And I would really urge everyone again to go pick up the book and take a look at it if you're interested in what we've talked about. But that pretty much wraps us up for this show. Wade, where can people find your book? What's your name of your book again? And what do you have anything else coming up in the future that people should look out for?
My book is called The Alchemical Tech Revolution, Fulfilling Ancient Esoteric Agendas Through the Use of High Technology. And it's available through Amazon, and it's available at many other fine book retailers. It's also available as a Kindle download. And I also have a couple platforms I could be reached at. If anybody's interested in communicating with me, they could reach me at alchemicaltechrevolution@gmail.com. Or I also have a YouTube channel called Alchemical Tech Revolution that I have a few different videos and stuff posted that relate to what things we've talked about. And I could be reached at my Facebook page, which is called Files from the Conspiratorium, where I do most of my posting and stuff. I'm currently working on my second book right now, which is going to be a little bit more controversial than this one.
Really?
Because of some of the things. Yeah, which is going to be a little bit more controversial because of some of the specific detailed things that I do nail down, and I don't want to reveal too much at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be coming out hopefully early next year. So I'm working on it now. I have most of the research phase done, and I'm beginning the outlining process and beginning to compile the information together. So,
well, we'll have to get you back on the show when you get that one published and sent out, because I love this conversation. I thought it was really a lot of really great information that we touched on that really haven't been touched on this channel before. So I hope the audience benefited from it. But Mr. McRoy, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate you having me on. I do like to inform people about the dangers of the coming technological singularity that they're really pushing for at this point. And I think it's something that really has to be on our radar, and most mm-hmm. people don't take it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time to wake up and understand what's really going on, to understand the occultic religious principles that these things are founded on and the technologies that they are manifesting themselves in, so we can be fully prepared to fight the evil coming our way. But again, as we look into these things, it's always, always important to remember that we are on the winning side, that as long as you have Jesus in your heart and that you are rooted in the knowledge and rooted in scripture, then you will be able to stand firm in all these things, and you will be able to defeat whatever comes at us. So that's the message of hope that I always want to end on. As long as you have the understanding that goes along with it, that's a good combination to be effective warriors for the kingdom. Guys, I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but you know I appreciate if you do. If you enjoyed the show, definitely go check out all those platforms that we talked about. And guys, that's it. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you have a good week.